I'm Mathieu Patou, member of Samba team, and today we're going to have a small look on Windows Update Management using Samba, among other things. So here is the agenda of this presentation. So short disclaimer, this is my view, not the view of my boss or my company, present or past or even future. Why do we need an update management system? Well, because applying updates proposed by vendor is not always desirable. You don't want to apply all the updates. Some are, I don't know among you who already faced a problem like applying a Windows update and after having to unapply it because it breaks something. I had already this experience, and I'm sure among you, a couple of other people has this experience. So you can't take all the updates and apply them everywhere because sometimes it will break some application that depends on this, on a bug to work, or it breaks something and you don't know it. Because if you have to go on all the computer to install the updates, it didn't scale very well, and it's true, even if you have only a couple of computers and you have people on the road, you are not always able to install these updates when they are, I mean, when the updates are here, the updates are here, but the computer are not here. So if you don't have something that do push the update to the computer without you being needed to be, to install the update, then you're gonna have a problem. Because of course, not applying security update, I think nowadays is not an option. We can discuss about this subject. So now that you are convinced that you need a system to manage your updates, to apply it, let's see the existing alternative. So I guess most of people who are concerned about it use Windows Server Update Services, WSUS. As it is called. There is a couple of others existing alternative. Now there is LSUS, which is Linux Server Update Services, and it's defunct, as far as I understood. It was an initiative from people from SambaEDU, which is a group of people in France trying to package Samba so that schools and university can use it. So they package also some group of utilities to do the update management. And you have also now something called WSS Offline. But my understanding, it's more, as the name implies, more offline oriented. If you want to make ISO image with a lot of update, and you want to push them on a computer that don't have access to internet. So why you want to do another one, you can ask. Because I started this project when I was IT manager, and I tried to have a fully open source IT infrastructure. It means only open source servers and with Windows clients and Linux clients, but and Mac client, but just Linux servers for the infrastructure. And so basically the server update was the only thing I need, and I didn't have it free, and the existing alternative didn't please me. One thing I didn't like, for instance, with LSUS, it was downloading a CAP file from Microsoft for offline analysis, and it was trying to read the content and to try to interpret the content of this archive. You can download it, so it's a CAP file, and if you extract it, you're gonna have a thousand of directories and XML file trying to tell you a lot of things about updates. So at that moment, they were able to interpret the content of the XML. I mean, yeah, it looks a bit not so obvious, but with a couple of hours of reflection, you can understand what is the format of the file and how all everything is organized.
I know it's a fraction, but you could just read the documentation of it.
I don't think there is documentation on it. Is there? Well, at that time, at that.
Maybe not then, but there is that, definitely. Because there's some people already in Jet. Some of the antivirus people without naming any of these names in Jet into Windows Update process.
So the remark was that there is documentation? I searched before doing my slide and didn't find a lot of documentation on the format of this file.
Two whole blocks.
Okay. Well, at that time when I started, I was pretty sure that there was no documentation, and having the idea of trying to fiddle into the format of the file and trying to interpret it didn't seem to me like a very good idea, because Microsoft has already changed once the file and format, and nothing could stop them to rechange it one more time if they need it. And while I was doing my research about this, I discovered that there was an API in Windows to control the update services on the workstation, and I decided to take advantage of this API to manipulate the update from the Windows side instead of trying to be more clever, just, well, leverage the API. And yeah, because also I thought it was the ideal companion of Samba 4 domain controllers to have something on top on Samba. So this gives the birth of a project that has changed a lot of time in name. I started to call it Yasus or L4Sus, but the domain weren't available for purchase. So I tried to find something in dictionary and didn't yield any very interesting names, but find something a bit more interesting like shoes. And I decided to settle on shoes, but with two S and without H at the end. So you've got the website shoes.org if you want to have more information, and I really encourage you to visit the blog, blog.shoes.org, for more information. So what is shoes? I hope it's pretty simple, really. The idea is that the updates are served out of a Samba share. I tried with Samba 4DC and with the NTVFS file server, which is about to exit now. It should work pretty well with Samba 3 if you are using the VFS X8TTR, because in order to be secure, we need to restrict the ACLs on the share, and the standard ACLs that you can set with non-VFS X8TTR in Samba 3 is not sufficient. It's too wide. But using this module, you can nail down a very small set of ACLs. Why also I did it on Samba 4 is that we have by default sign update in sign packets in for the SMB packet and SMB2 packets. And you don't want someone over the wire to manipulate the content of your updates that you are sending to the clients, and the clients not being able to detect that someone modified them. And also, as I say, you don't want anybody to modify the lists of update or the content of the update on the file share. So you need pretty strict ACLs on the share. That's why Samba, this configuration of Samba was modated. So how it works? On the client, you've got a set of Visual Basic script. You've basically got one that is called getUpdate.vbs, and it runs. And in which it runs, it will spawn an object of the class Microsoft.update.serviceManager. And from this manager, we're going to get a searcher with this API. We can make I mean, there is different criteria for the search, but the default one is no. We are searching for updates that are not installed, and from the type software, you have also the type driver, and I didn't remember, but you have also most probably different other type. And you ask the searcher to search for this kind of update. You wait a little bit. You can wait more than a little bit if he has to go back to the Microsoft server to get an update of the list of updates. And at the end, you receive an array of updates, and you just have to iterate on this, and you get something like this, like this update, the name of the update ID, and well, you can get more than one URL. You got usually the URL where is the where you can download the update actually. And that's pretty much what you need to do at the beginning on the client. Yes, Chris?
Do you download these to the server and keep the patches and then provide them, or do you actually have the client go back to, for example, that URL to get the patches?
So no, the client will write a file on the share of the server, and I will explain it on just after, but then the server will download the patches. So that if you have 100 files instead of having 100 computer, instead of having 100 computers going to internet to download the file, you have just one download. At that time, there was no, how is it called, peer dist, so branch cache, so every client would go on internet, download the stuff if you do it. So it was not very, yes? I'm not a lawyer. So the question was, is there any licensing issue? My answer is, I'm not a lawyer. I think as soon as you have all your license correct, you should be able to download the patches on into your enterprise and then be able to provide them, because I'm not providing them outside of the company. I'm providing it inside the company or the organization. But
I don't think there would be an issue. I mean, I'm not the lawyer, but I mean, the only use of them is for a Windows machine, which presumably one has a license.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a license, then it's another problem. So, but yeah, I don't. It would be interesting if you can send me some pointers. I would be really interested, because I don't think, in fact, well, yeah. When you have WSS, you do almost the same, but you download it on a Windows server.
But, yes.
Yeah, so the.
I don't think that's accurate, because we publish the Windows Update Server protocol as public information. So you could write the information to write a server that would download off Windows Update to a local machine and then distribute to other Windows. It's publicly documented.
So going back to the other point, Matthew, we should talk about adding branch cache support.
Well, if you have to branch cache, this is also the neat thing. I mean, I'm just piloting the API of Windows. So if you start to have a Windows 7 or Windows 8 server, Windows 8 clients, and also some server that are branch cache enabled, then it should automatically use this functionality. And if not, then you can file a bug at Microsoft. Because, I mean, I'm really piloting the API of
Right, but if you add branch cache capability, hosted mode caching to what you're doing here, then your machine that's providing the service can also be the one to host the cache. And that way you don't, otherwise the first one to download first machine to download the patches will become the server for the whole office.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's not very clear because it depends on whether or not the client decides to go, if he can skip branch cache and go still to the server because he finds it's very close. But yeah, if the server is not so close, yeah, you're right. Yep. So it's more a setting actually on the server than on the client to do. So you have normally then at this moment put all the updates you want on the server. So we're gonna cover this subject just after, but after the let's say that the server has produced you a list of updates that you really want to have, because for instance, you can not have validated some update or you specifically want not to insert some update, like for instance, your mother company has still some website that are only compatible with Internet Explorer 6, and so installing Internet Explorer 8 is not an option. Don't laugh. It was the case for my company maybe still a year ago. I think now we moved, or they moved to. But there is a lot of company who had this scenario not long time ago. Or you had also the problem like the global policy in the company is. We don't move to SP3 on Windows XP before this date, and so you can't push the SP3 update. So, well, you get a file with the update called update list. There is a couple of lines in this file this way, which is in fact the path or the relative path of the update in the update in the update share. And a tag that gives the install script some hints on how to install it, because not all the updates in Microsoft install the same way. Some accept the passive and no restart flag. Some accept different one. I'm gonna just check, give you a small hint on the different options. Yeah, so depending, for instance, on the type of the update, I don't know if this is, this should be a bit, I'm gonna view, zoom in. Okay, so depending on the type of update, the most common one is the one that accepts the /create/no restart, because of course, as this is running on a scheduled task, you don't have someone able to click, say yes, I accept, or next. So you need this to be completely unattended. So most of the time you have unattended flags, and the not attended flags are /create/no restart, but on some update it's /q. Sometimes, I mean, over the time the switches have changed, so /big Q is also a usual switch to make it quiet and unattended. And then if you have cabs, like it's the case in Windows Vista and Windows 7, then it's another command line and a couple of. Okay. So basically, this file tells you which kind of flags you will have to apply at the end of the update in order to run it in an unattended mode. So as I said, the entries are relative paths to the update share, and yeah, you've got Yeah, so the VBS that we are looking is the do update VBS that is here.
That's it.
And this do update VBS is the one that is run on periodic update on a periodic time by the Windows client. So the Windows client runs basically periodically two scripts, one which is get update that will go to the service, ask for the update, create a list of updates that the workstation wants. And a couple of minutes after, in fact, you have a second scheduled task that will run do updates that, in fact, expect to find an update list file with the instruction of which update he has to run. Or if you have a system that is up to date, then most of the time the update file will be just empty. And also the result of the get updates will be empty because it will just post.
But do updates is something that is either on a Windows system already or is something that's downloaded with the updates?
No, this is something that you have to install when you install Shoes on your workstation. So you have a set of scripts you're going to see.
It's something you wrote?
Yeah. It's the server. We're going to see it just in the next slide, I guess. So, how it works on the server side. So, you've got a Perl script that is started. Well, you can start it how you want, but the it's important that it's running most of the time, so you can make it on the RC, like a RC script that is started when the server boots. And that is putting a watcher, iNotify watcher, on the update share folder. I mean, the one that is shared as with Samba as the update share. And it will look for the modification for any iNotify event on this folder. And every time you see a modification for a folder creation, it means that most probably you are adding a new folder for the workstation, for a new workstation. So it will spawn, in fact, a new iNotify watcher on this folder. And for all the folders, apart from looking for the folder creation event, it will also look for the file creation event. And if the file match the string proposed update log, which will most probably be something like day, months, year, dash, hour, minute, second, dash, proposed update dot log, then it will say, oh, this is most probably a list of updates that this workstation wants. I'm gonna do something, and the do something that you will do is just to spawn an analyzer script for this file and saying, well, please analyze me this script, this update list for this workstation. And of course, what the analyze script will do, well, it's analyzing the update that are requested by the workstation and do the following things. If the update is completely new, it means that it has never been seen before, it will add a notify entry in the notify list. And if the update is not new, it will check if the last time we notified someone about this update is less than 24 hours or more than 24 hours. If it is more than 24 hours, then it will be re-added in the notify entry list. The idea is that you don't want to be notified 100 times about this new update that has appeared on all your workstation, but you want to be notified maybe every 24 hours that you forgot to validate some update and you have to do so. At least that was how I wanted it to be, and as that it was at the beginning tailored for my needs, that's how it worked for the moment. If the update is validated, then we're gonna add it to the list of update to download. And at the end of the run, we send an email if there is any notify entries. An email to the person who will receive this email is configurable. And we're gonna start the download of updates. So the script called download update is not so well named because it will not only download updates. If the file to download didn't already exist in the share or didn't exist with the correct signature. But it will also populate the update list for the workstation, and it will add not only the path, but also the tag of the file, depending on the guest type. So we run basically a script called the file program on the update to try to determine it and to from the output of this command to try to classify which kind of update it is and how to run this update. Most of the time it's working. Sometimes it don't work. I mean, it means that you are trying to run the update and the flags are not the one that should have been put, and so the update is hanging out. I'm going to see later on what are the plans to change this situation. And so one last thing that you have is the validate script. So when you receive the email saying, well, this update is not validated, you have a link to check the KB. Most of the time it's the Windows KB. And if you decide to do it, you can copy another link and run the script, validate update on it. It will just basically go in a Berkeley DB database and say, okay, this update is validated. So the next time download updates will see this, I mean, the next time analyze will see this update, it will see, okay, it's a validated update, so I can start to download it. So I'm going to make you a very small demo because I didn't have all the infrastructure. I wanted to be able to make you the demo of downloading and installing the updates. So I'm going to just fetch the list of updates. So first we're going to install Shoes on the workstation or reinstall it. So I cheated a little bit. I have got already a folder. Otherwise, it's just a zip file that you unzip on the clients. So in the zip file, I've got a couple of scripts, and I've got also a configuration file. Basically, with the list of I can increment or extend the list of updates that I don't want. So you have a collection of updates that you don't want called no update list, and you just have to give the grid of this update, and you can add just a comment at the end saying, well, this is this update, and well, maybe that's why I don't want it. We've got a couple of parameters like where is the server you want to connect to get the update, in which share, and where are the scripts, because the system automatically updates itself, so that if you change the way the get update is written or the do update is written, then it will automatically resync from the server to get the latest versions. So we've got a small script to schedule everything. Shoes. So we are on this. This is the equivalent of, or should be the equivalent of install. We can check that. In the task scheduler, I've got now. So I've got now four tasks. One, this is do clean, that is run at the boot to, I mean, you have a couple of logs in order to be sure that you don't have two updates that are running on the same time. And it can happen that the lock is still left. For instance, if the user restart or shut down his computer while the update was running. So in order to remove this lock, you have this safety net doclean that is running on the boot and once a time in a week in order to clean everything. And basically, you have so the two schedule tasks that I talked about that are running the. That are running the get update list script and the do update script. Okay. And what I'm going to do right now is run a small script that is doing almost the same thing as the get update list, but it's a kind of tool to debug in order to see what are the update proposed. So instead of writing it on the share, I will just run it. It will just run locally. So we can see that there is a couple of network activity. I suppose it's the Windows API that is checking if there is any updates in the update list on the Windows on Microsoft servers. And you get this file, which is exactly the list of all the updates that you have you should run on your computer, or you could run on your computer. So you can see the different list of updates. We have, as always, we have the pass to the cap file or to the exe file, depending on the time on the type of the update. And this is the proposed update file that is written by the client on the share, and that is after parsed and analyzed by the server. Well, that's all for the demo. So let's talk a little bit about the issues. Well, issues were very well with Windows XP and Windows 2003. But with Vista, a lot of updates started to be not anymore exe file, but camp file. And I don't know how to install them on Vista. Hopefully, starting from Windows 7, there is a new tool called PKGMGR, or there is another one called DISM. I didn't try the second one. And I checked that you are able to install the camp file using this PKGMGR. Here, this command line, in fact, you run pkgmgr slash with the following switch, slash ip slash m and the name of the update slash passive slash no restart. So I suppose there is not so much, or I hope there is not so much Vista deployed on the field. And if you are interested with it and using Vista, well, update to Windows 7. Or Windows 8. So another problem I mentioned is that the tag is guessed. Most of the time, the guess is pretty accurate, but still it's a guess. And so the results are decent, but not perfect. So this leads to the future. It turns that the Windows API for updates have a way to specify to say to Windows Update API, please take this file and put it in your cache. So one of the possible improvements, in fact, instead of running the update from the share, is to copy the file from the share into the WA cache, and then after continue to use the Windows API update to say, okay, please install this update. And I'm sure that at this moment, in fact, the Windows Update service won't go to the internet to download the update. It will say, oh, okay, I've got it in my cache. I don't need to go to internet. So the net effect of it is that you get a better history of what are the installed updates. Because when you run the update manually, in fact, you lose the information that the update when it was installed and yes, when it was installed. A couple of information about the update of the update history are not present when you run the update manually instead of using the Windows Update interface. So yeah, okay. Well, so for the moment, the information about updates to install are just by email. It's good, but I think it's not sufficient. Also, the validation of updates is done only through command line. It's good, but not so good. It can be cumbersome, especially after the first or the second Tuesday of every month, when sometimes you've got a pretty huge security update list. Definitely having another way to do it would be better. So this is my idea, is to have a web interface to be able to see the list of updates and to see which workstation are still don't pushed any update. This is also something that is missing. Like if you validated an update, but for some reason the update is not installing on the workstation for whatever the reason, then you don't really see it. So you need, in the future, it would be good to have a way to check that, yes, the update is validated and it is really installed on the workstation, and you don't have this workstation of this sales guy that is continuously refusing to install it for whatever reason. So, and you, of course, once you know about all the updates that are available, you will be happy to be able to validate the update to say, okay, this update I'm interested, and also to say, well, this update like Microsoft Silverlight, I'm not interested. I don't want, and I don't want to be notified anymore. So it will, in fact, go into the updatelist.conf to say, well, this one is now a new. Is added to the list of updates that I don't want to install anymore. Well, that's all. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask me.
So, Matthew, one of the things that occurs to me right away is that having worked in administration of large numbers of computers, one of the last things I ever want to do is have to go to every single machine and install a new update package so that I can manage the updates for each of those machines. I'd rather just use what's ever on the systems. How much work, and given that Neil has pointed out there's documentation now, et cetera, do you think it would be possible to set as a goal the ability to do all these updates without touching the clients? You know, they use the existing infrastructure that's there.
Well, so I wasn't also very happy of going on each workstation to install it. So I had a trick. In fact, this is installed when you join the domain. When my workstation joined the domain, it will start to run some computer scripts that install this system, that runs the schedule script. So I don't have to go on each workstation. The workstation joins the domain, it runs this script, and it's automatic. I don't have to go anymore. The only thing I have to do, yes, is still in the update folder to create a folder for this workstation. But I don't have to go on its workstation to install it. So I don't know how to bootstrap it with the Microsoft API, but I find a way on how to bootstrap it using the Active Directory infrastructure. Like, okay, every time you join, I check if you have already run once or not, or every time you boot and you run the computer script, I check if you have run once or not this scheduled script, and if not, I run it, and it will, I copy all the SUSE files locally and then run the scheduling. Does it answer your question?
Answers my question, but I guess I would want as a goal to not have to.
It answers my question, but I would want, I guess, as a goal to not have to install software on the workstation at all and just use what is existing.
I think it's going to be quite difficult because, yeah, the other option is to re-implement the WSUS protocol. Well, at that time, the protocol was not available. I'm not sure how complicated it is to install. I mean, to re-implement this protocol. Obviously, I mean, what is done already is somehow a bit easier than re-implementing the protocol. I think it was quicker than re-implementing the protocol.
I'm sure it was, but yeah. Okay, great.
And
thanks.
And one thing, still, in fact, with all this infrastructure, you have the ability to use still the offline file if you don't, if your computer hasn't an access to internet, which I think if you are using just the WSUS API, you can't do it. In fact, if you go in the Git update here, yeah. So here you have a couple of commented lines, and in fact, if you just do this, you're gonna use, instead of using of going on the web to fetch the update, you're gonna use just this WSUSSCN2.carb file to read the updates. So this is a plus that something is not easily doable with Microsoft. And in order to cover this issue, they have a tool that allows you to do offline analysis of updates for computers that are not connected to internet.
They're not connected to the internet.
Yeah.
But I think the right answer here really is to implement the update server protocol. I know it's complicated, but it allows for sort of several in a row, so you could have one downloads it, and then you could modify that and feed it to another one, and then distribute exactly what you want to or not want to.
Okay, one more time.
And also, of course, you can, group policy allows you to make the clients go to a specific server.
Yeah, I know. Internet.
Although, interestingly, if they don't ever connect to their server, eventually after about 3 months they give in and go to the internet. But as a principle, I think it's probably going to be simpler for you to update, implement the protocol.
Yeah, all of this was started pretty long time ago, to 2008. So we didn't have all this information.
So just on that, there's three documents of interest for this. There's the WASP, which is the client update protocol. There's the Windows Server Update Server Protocol, and there's an overview document for both of them together as well.
Okay.
Just to make clear, this is impressive. It's just now that you've got something like this, I guess I'm looking where to take it. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to feel bad.
Yeah, the thing is that obviously, as I change my job, I have less focus on this thing. I'm less interested with the security update. But yeah, I must confess that I don't go every day to check the new published protocol list from Microsoft. I know that's bad.